Today I'd like to talk about an author who is like no other author before or since. A man who would influence the scientific community of the 20th century, writing more than 60 novels. No, I'm not talking about R.K. Rowling, the author of Harry Potter. I'm talking about Jules Verne. Verne's writings influenced people such as Yuri Gagarin, who was the first person in space, Neil Armstrong, the first person to walk on the moon, and Admiral Richard Byrd, who is famous for his polar explorations. Jules Verne predicted that there would be a submarine well before the first one was ever drawn up. He wrote up about spacecraft that would be launched in Central Florida. Amazingly, not very far from today's Cape Canaveral. It's amazing. But one must ask, why is Jules Verne considered to be one of the greatest imaginative writers of all times? And more importantly, how is Jules Verne capable of coming up with such incredible ideas? I believe the answer to this question is found in this week's Parsha, Parsha's Kisavo. We read about the mitzvah Bikurim, the giving of the first fruits of wheat, barley, olives, dates, grapes, figs, and pomegranate. However, what we do not find in the Torah is brought down in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah tells us something very unusual about how these first fruits were brought. The Mishnah tells us, "Hashor hoylich lifneihem," on their way to Yerushalayim, they would have animals, oxen, that would go before them. Vikarna mitzupos zahav, v'atarshal zayis ferosho. They would have ornaments of gold on these oxen, and also wreaths made out of olives, olive branches, on their head. To make things even more incredible, the Mishnah tells us that when it came to this and this mitzvah alone, kol bali umnios shibrushalayim, all of the workers, people that were busy making some money, doing their trade, omdim lifneihem, they would stop their work whenever someone who was about to bring their first fruits walked by the street. V'shoalin v'shlomam, and they would say to them, Achenu, our brothers, Anshim akumploni, Basim l'shalom, come in peace. Very amazing. The tremendous amount of effort that was put forward for this mitzvah Bikurim. However, as we mentioned every single day in our davening, Bikurim is really not so significant. Eilu devarim she'ein lehem shi'or. What are things which have no measure, that you can give even the smallest amount, even the tiniest amount? Says the Mishnah, ha'peya v'habikurim. With this being the case, why such incredible fanfare? If you can give a little piece of nothing to fulfill the mitzvah Bikurim, why are people stopping their jobs? Why are we decorating animals with gold and with olive branches? What's so special about this mitzvah? Furthermore, we must contrast this idea of the first fruits to another mitzvah mentioned in our parsha, the mitzvah of maaser. Maaser comes from the word eser, a tenth, tithing, giving up 10% of your produce. That's a tremendous amount that a person is giving up. However, when it comes to the giving of maaser, there are no huge parties. There's no one stopping their work. But why not? Maaser is a much more significant contribution than giving a little date or a grape. So why? Why are we giving Bikurim so much attention? And I once heard from Rabbi J.J. Schachter a very, very powerful answer. If we look at Bikurim and we look at Maaser, we see two extremes. Bikurim, the first fruit, is exactly that. It's something which you do not know what the future will be. Perhaps I'll have a bumper crop. Perhaps there'll be a drought. Who knows? Bikurim is the future. Maaser is in the past. The farmers' granaries, the farmers' storehouses are all full. They're packed, overflowing. And now you're asked to give 10% of that. Now that we look at Bikurim as the future, the promise in Maaser, the acknowledgement of the past, one now can perhaps understand what is a greater act of giving. Is it Maaser, which is merely acknowledging a huge gift from the past? No. It's Bikurim. Bikurim is the potential and the hope of a better future. And I believe this is what was most remarkable of this incredible author, Jules Verne. You know, Jules Verne once said that whatever one man is capable of imagining, other men will prove themselves capable of realizing. The greatness of the Bikurim and the philosophy and the mindset of a Jules Verne is the notion of endless possibilities, the endless potential in our future. This is the message that we recite every morning. Elu devarim she'en lahem shi'ur. These things have no measure. It's not because they're insignificant, but because they're so significant, we cannot limit them to a number. And Bikurim is one of the things that are Ein Lehem Shi'ur. Because the focus of our future has no boundaries. Because we all have endless potential. Maaser is 10%. But there's a limit. It's 10% and not more. However, by Bikurim, we acknowledge the future of man's potential. And for this, it's worth celebrating. For this, it's worth stopping your job to acknowledge another person celebrating in their lives the potential of their future, that it has no boundaries. In a couple of weeks, we will be celebrating Rosh Hashanah, the new year. We can look at Rosh Hashanah and think about our past and say, who can I be and what will become of me because of my past? And to that I answer, we must look at the Bikurim. Our past is the past. We must look ahead. We must think about what next year will be. For just as a person driving a car, if you're constantly looking in the rearview mirror and you're not looking at the road ahead of you, you're destined to failure. We cannot only look behind us, certainly to look behind us to learn from our mistakes, to improve from our mistakes. However, we must look ahead, look at the year to come, look at our future, and may that future be without any boundaries or limitations, and may we all be zocheh to aksiva v'chasima tova. Good Shabbos.